others would say, when I say I'm saved, I mean I have eternal life. I mean my sins are forgiven. But you just said saved. Maybe as a start, just Mr. MJ, can you just read John 10:10? It's not part of the menu, but it's very important to read that verse. John 10:10. I want to show you something to show you that you need to be saved and you need to be safe. Because there is an enemy who wants to kill you, who wants to destroy you, who wants to steal from you, who wants to torment you, who wants you to live a miserable life. And unfortunately, sometimes we say we are saved, but we are still under the dominion of the enemy. So just read John 10:10, Mr. MJ.
The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full.
Amen. So who has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy is the thief, isn't it? Is the enemy. Jesus says, I have come to give them life. So just to take this thing further as you go to the book of Hebrews, because we are going to look at this understanding salvation. We'll start in the book of Hebrews chapter 2. We can do it in the B.J. Phillips translation. Mr. MJ, if you have it, B.J. Phillips. How many of you have ever been in a place, and maybe you just saw somebody yesterday, and they were happy with you, and today you hear they are gone, they are dead. We've got those things, isn't it? And people will tell you life is uncertain. Why? Because we've got the enemy. Unfortunately, even when the Bible is very clear who steals, who kills, who destroys, and who gives life, people still mix things. So the verse we read, it says, who kills? It's not God, isn't it? Yeah, it's the enemy, the thief, the devil, your enemy. And sometimes before he kills you, he can just steal something from you. He steals your joy. He steals things from you and you become depressed. And then you think of killing yourself even. He comes, he finds you enjoying your marriage with your husband, with your wife. And he starts sowing division, you start fighting. So when we say, I'm saved, I want you to look at that. Let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 18. We'll read in the B.J. Phillips. But I want to emphasize the issue of being saved, being set free, being delivered, being rescued. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 to 18, read it.
We ought therefore to pay the greatest attention to the truth that we have heard and not allow ourselves to drift away from it.
So he says we have to pay great attention to the truth that we have heard. You guys have been hearing the word time and again, time and again. Some of you say, but it seems the pastor is repeating the same verses. We've already graduated from those verses. To show that you have graduated, you should be making sure that the enemy cannot catch you. Yeah. Because if you have graduated and still you are under the dominion of the enemy, it means you still need those verses. Amen? But he says you pay great attention to this truth that you have heard. Because you've got to keep on hearing it. You have got to keep on being revived from it. Because otherwise you will drift away from it. Continue.
For if the message given through angels proved authentic, so that defiance of it and disobedient to it received appropriate retribution, how shall we escape if we refuse to pay proper attention to the salvation that is offered to us today?
So he says, in the Old Testament, there would be a rule. You will be told, if you do this, you will live. If you do this, you will die, you will perish, and all that. They were given a way of escape. Now, he says, if we neglect such a great salvation, how will we have a way of escape? Okay. By the way, to be saved also means you have escaped, isn't it? Huh? Yeah. To be saved, anything that was going to keep you in bondage, anything that was going to keep you captive, anything that was going to torment you, when you are saved, it means you are free. That's why if the sun sets you are free indeed. So that word salvation, it says we have to keep attention to this salvation. So I looked at this word in Greek because it's more easy to understand some of these words from the original languages in which the Bible was written. So that word salvation is the word in Greek which is called soteria, S-O-T-E-R-I-A. It means to rescue. One, it means to deliver. It means preservation from danger or destruction. It means deliverance from sin and its consequences. It means admission to eternal life. It means health. It means sound mind. You see, that salvation is great. This great salvation, if we ignore it, how shall we escape? How shall we be saved? Now, as you continue to read Mr. MJ in that Hebrews chapter 2, we will pick up that there are several facets that salvation includes. Okay? So the very thing that I just told you now. Somewhere where you are reading, you will see how we are forgiven our sins. Which means salvation includes my sins are forgiven. So I'm delivered from sin and its consequences. But somewhere you will hear when we read, I'm delivered from the dominion of Satan. Somewhere you will read, even death, I'm delivered from the fear of death. So continue reading it. You will see all these things unfolding. And it's in your Bible. Yesterday I was talking with one pastor. We were just talking and saying, sometimes as pastors, people want to give us, to put us in trouble, to say, hey, you are telling people this, you are telling people this, but it's in their Bibles. Because it's the wrong thing to tell you what is in your Bible. Is it wrong? Because it's in your Bible, isn't it? And you know the pastor didn't write your Bible. And for most of you, he didn't even buy it for you. So we have to show you. So continue reading. Now you will see a lot of things here in Hebrews chapter 2.
For this salvation came first through the words of the Lord himself. It was confirmed for our hearing by men who had heard him speak. And God, moreover, has plainly endorsed their witnesses by signs and miracles, by all kinds of spiritual power, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, all working to the divine plan.
You see, God endorses it. When we hear this truth and we believe it, we heard it was spoken by the Lord first. We also heard other people who had the testimony of that word and they speak it to us, and God endorses it. God endorsed it even in my life. So the things that I tell you about, when I say that I'm free, when I say that I'm healed, when I say that the devil is under my feet, when I say in the name of Jesus I've got the victory, God endorses that. Because it's part of my salvation. Continue reading.
For though in past ages God did grant authority to angels, yet he did not put the future world of men under their control.
Oh, okay. So the future world of men was not put under the control of angels.
Mm.
It's put under us.
Mm.
And we've got to reign and rule in life.
Mm.
Continue.
And it is this world that we are now talking about.
Okay, which world are we talking about?
This world.
This world. Mm. Some of you, when we teach you faith, you keep on spiritualizing it and make it sometime in future. So he says, we are talking about dominion in this world.
Mm.
And that's not for angels, that's for us.
Yeah.
That's part of our salvation. Continue.
But someone has said, what is a man that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you take care of him?
Imagine God just thinking about you. Mm. He says, what is man that you are mindful of him? Just thinking about him. Do you know that even when a mere person has thought about you, somebody phones you and says, I just thought about you. I just remembered you. You feel good, isn't it? Yeah. So how much more when God thinks about me? Mm. Amen. Mm. How much more when God cares about me? He says, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you take care of him? So who takes care of me? God. It means as part of my salvation, the Lord takes care of me. Yeah. So this salvation is great. He says, how shall you escape if you neglect such a great salvation? So God has packaged everything we need in our salvation. Unfortunately, we always want to limit God and we want to limit ourselves. You remember another time I gave you an example of this man who was poor and he, because of lack of knowledge, he couldn't enjoy the benefits of his ticket. Some of you know the story. Yeah. Where I said this man, he was a poor man, he had a desire to once in a while be on board the ship to overseas. That was his desire. But he was so poor that he couldn't afford the boat ticket, the ship ticket. And then somewhere along his life, somebody knew about that wish that he had and decided to buy him a ticket for that ship that was going to go somewhere overseas. So that was like a lifetime thing that he was looking up forward to. But then when the trip was near, he had a problem that I have to prepare some food for myself, but the food that I have, it's not even worth showing the other people. So he started collecting bread and drying it up, and it was dry bread, so that he could use on board the ship as they would be going overseas. And then the story goes on to say, as they started going, he was also there with his ticket, so he also got on board the ship. Every time when it was lunchtime or supper time, he would pretend as if he's going to the toilet because he didn't want other people to see his crumbs. So as others were going to dine, he would go somewhere else to quickly eat his crumbs. So he continued with that routine until when it was one day to go. You might laugh at this man, but that's what some Christians are doing today. So when it was about a day to go, one man said to him, there's something strange that I've observed. Every time we go to dine, you move away. What's going on? And that man became open to him. He said, I'm sorry to tell you this, but I'm a poor person that I didn't want that when you other guys are eating your nice food, I will be eating my crumbs. And then it's not very good because all of you, because you come from rich backgrounds, you probably have prepared good food that you've come with. So I came with my crumbs and that's why I couldn't join in the when you guys were going to eat. Then the man asked him, do you have a ticket? He says, yes. He says, so we were also dining because of the ticket that we have and it's similar to yours. Oh, does the ticket include food also? Yes, this ticket includes everything when you are on this ship. And that man suffered the whole journey long. Why? Because of lack of knowledge. That's what happens to people who don't come to church. So they don't hear what the Lord says about them. They don't hear what salvation includes, and they keep on eating crumbs. While actually your salvation ticket includes everything. Tell your neighbor, your salvation ticket includes everything. That's why it says God is so mindful of me that he thinks about me, he cares for me. Continue reading.
You made him a little lower than angels. You crowned him with glory and honor.
Okay, I'm crowned with glory and honor. You will start seeing, if you start looking at this, then you start seeing, oh, maybe I'm eating crumbs. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm not raising up to my salvation ticket. Continue.
and set him over the works of your hands.
Where have we been set? Under.
No, over.
Over. Okay? That's where we are set. We are crowned with glory and honor. And he has set us over the works of his hands. He did not give the rulership of this world to the angels. He gave us that authority. Continue.
You have put all things in subjection under his feet.
Where are all things put?
Under our feet.
Some of them are over your shoulders. It's so heavy. All the stress that I've got. That thing was not supposed to be over your shoulders. Where was it supposed to be?
Under our feet.
Under your feet. Because you've got authority over it. So how did it get over your shoulders? All over you. I'm just overwhelmed. That's why you get stressed. You were not made to carry things. You were made to stamp on things. Amen. 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 Yes. Just repeat that. We want to know where these things are.
You have put all things in subjection under his feet.
Okay. So if he has put all things under our feet, we would always sometimes say, but not all things are under our feet, isn't it? Yeah, he will come to that. Continue.
Notice that the writer puts all things under the sovereignty of man. He left nothing outside his control.
Oh, is that in your Bible?
Oh, yes.
So even those things that are over you, where were they supposed to be?
Under our control.
Under your feet. That's your salvation ticket. Amen? They are supposed to be under, but you say, but not all things are under. That's why we are teaching you today. Amen? Amen? That's why we need to understand our salvation, this great salvation, so that then everything can come under. So those few things that were still remaining over you is their day to day to be subjected under your feet.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
And then he will continue. He will ask that question of saying, but we don't see things under the feet yet. Continue.
But we do not yet see all things under his control.
Okay. So if you look at the word of God and you start understanding, you realize, but this is practical. So he says, okay, I told you these things. But when you look at it in reality, it doesn't look like all things are under our control yet. That's why we've got to listen further. Continue.
What we actually see is Jesus, after being made temporarily inferior to the angels and so subject to pain and death, in order that he should, in God's grace, taste death for every man, now crowned with glory and honor. It was right and proper that in bringing many sons to glory, God, from whom and by whom everything exists, should make the leader of their salvation a perfect leader through the fact that he suffered.
Okay, so when we are still there, I want to move with you. And can we all commit to believing the word of God? Are we all committed?
Yes.
So the things that you are going to read, believe them, please. It's fair. Yeah, I'm not going to rewrite it in your Bibles. It's there. So, which means, if he's going to tell us something and we were not there yet, we've got to start saying, thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes. Like that man on the last day of that voyage, he could start going to the dining room with others. So, all the days that he was eating crumbs, was it the problem with the captain of the ship? Was it the problem with the ship? Was it the problem with the ticket? So it was this ignorance that was putting him in bondage. So that's why we keep on teaching you the word, so that your eyes may be opened. The Bible's in the book of Hosea chapter 4 verse 6. It says, my people are perishing for lack of knowledge. They are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So as we teach you, we start saying, okay, I can see now this is my right. You know, many people in South Africa especially, they know their constitutional right. But can you also know your biblical right? May you start also knowing your salvation right? And you start saying, this is my salvation right. Continue reading.
For the one who makes men holy and the men who are made holy share common humanity, so that he is not ashamed to call them his brothers, for he says, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of congregation, I will sing praise to you.
Okay, so Jesus will even sing in the midst of congregation through us.
Mm.
He will touch people's lives through us.
Mm.
When I say those who are sick, come to the fore, we want to pray for you, Jesus heals you through us.
Mm. Mm.
Continue.
And again, speaking as a man, he says, I will put my trust in him. And one more instance.
So I will put my trust in him. You see, in salvation, we've got to put our trust in the Lord. I trust in God.
Mm.
Even when my situation looks like this, I trust in God.
Mm.
For me to enjoy the benefit of my salvation. Continue.
And one more instance in these words. Here am I and the children whom God has given me. Since then, the children have a common physical nature as human beings. He also became a human being, so that by going through death as a man.
Now I want you to listen closely. Jesus came as a human being, and by going through death as a human being, now start listening.
So that by going through death as a man, he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil.
Who had the power of death? Satan. And Jesus came and did what?
Destroyed
him who had the power of death.
Mm.
For what reason?
And might also set free those who lived their whole lives a prey to the fear of death.
Mm. Are you seeing the salvation package?
Mm.
So he says Jesus came. So it means when he died for my sins, he did not only wash me my sins away, he did not only set me free from sin, but he also made sure that the one who had power of death is destroyed so that I will be free from fear of death. Jesus overcame death so that I will be free. It's not like, that's why I keep on telling you, it's not like you say, we were with the pastor yesterday, and now we hear he has died tomorrow. That should not be. Because it only happens when you are still held captive. You know, if you are held captive or you are held hostage, your hostage taker can kill you any time. But if the Lord has rescued me, if the Lord has delivered me, I cannot be killed any time. Maybe repeat it. Why did Jesus come? So that he might destroy him who had the power of death. Who is that?
The devil.
The devil.
Mm.
And that he might set free those who lived their whole lives as a prey to the fear of death. You know, when you are held hostage, when you are held captive, you are always afraid that I might be killed any time. Now, some of you behave like that. It's December time now. Some of you are going to take long trips. You never know. You know the N1. Maybe I just think I'm going home and I end up being in an accident. You know the N2. Hey, especially when you pass Krabo. Which scriptures now? So you start talking to us as if you are held hostage. It means any time you might be destroyed. But if Jesus has rescued me from the one who had the power of death, and he rescued me and he set me free, then I'm free. Then he has got no claim over my life. You remember when Jesus was going to die on the cross? Listen to these words. He said, the prince of this world is coming at me, and he wants to kill me. He says, but he has nothing in me. I am deciding to lay down my life. So in other words, if Jesus didn't want to die, he would not have died. You remember he said, when they were coming to arrest him and they wanted to kill him, and Peter cut the ear of one of the soldiers. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, he didn't say, thank you, Peter, you saved me. He said, Peter, put back your sword. For he who draws a sword will die with the sword. Don't you think, if I didn't want to die, I like those words, I could have called, you must read your Bible, I could have called on the angels and the Lord would have dispatched them and I would not be killed. I'm choosing to lay down my life. Go and read your Bible. It's there in your Bible. So it means he was saying, I'm deciding to lay down. That's why he calls it lay down my life. Okay. Now, he says, those used to be always under the fear. You would always be under fear if you are held hostage. Of course, if you are not born again, if you are not saved, you are still under the dominion of the enemy, isn't it? You are still under the dominion of Satan, isn't it? He can do with you whatever he wants, isn't it? Yeah. So you need to be rescued. So at the end of this, I will also make an altar call for salvation. Those of you who wants to be saved, who wants to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So the good thing with the salvation ticket is that you accept him as your Lord and Savior, your sins are forgiven, you are also rescued from those dangers. And then you can know that the Lord covers me. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run unto it and they are safe. I told you how many of you are safe. And not many hands went up for safe. But for saved, they went up. Yes, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run unto it and they are what? Yeah. Let's continue.
It is plain that for this purpose, he did not become an angel. He became a man. In actual fact, a descendant of Abraham. It was imperative that he should be made like his brothers in nature. If he were to become a high priest, both compassionate and faithful in the things of God, and at the same time, be able to make atonement for the sins of the people.
You see now, that salvation includes atonement for our sins. You see, it's unpacking salvation. Huh? This Hebrews chapter 2 is unpacking salvation. He will give you several things. Now he says, the death of Jesus also was an atonement for our sins. His blood was an atonement for our sins. So, in the Old Testament, there's something they used to call it, you see, when you atone, you are covering the sins and taking away the sins. So, his blood was for taking away our sins. It means I'm free from the dominion of sin. I'm free from the dominion of the devil. Amen? And if the Son sets you free, so why would he set you free if there was nobody was trying to bind you and keep you under bondage? So it means there's somebody who wants to keep you in bondage, held hostage. That's why we need to teach you. So Hebrews chapter 2, 14 and 15 in the Contemporary English Version says, we are the people of the flesh and blood. This is why Jesus became one of us. He died to destroy the devil who had power over death. But he also died to rescue all of us who live each day in fear of dying. That's Contemporary English Version. Verse 15 says, he also died to rescue all of us who live each day in fear of dying. So in Jesus' death, he was also rescuing me from our hostage taker, the enemy. So go to the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 13. We'll do it in the Amplified Classic, because now I want to take you through step by step so that you can enjoy the benefits of your salvation. So when we are talking about understanding salvation, now when I say I am saved, I'm a child of God, I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, things should be different in my life. Amen? It means even though, because I'm no longer a slave of sin, I'm no longer held hostage by the enemy, I am free. But I need to know who I am in Christ. Because if you don't know, you will be like that man who was eating crumbs when he could have been enjoying with others. So there are Christians who are also suffering unnecessarily when you could have been enjoying. So Romans 10:13 Amplified Classic says, "For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, invoking him as Lord, will be saved." Did you see that? Everyone who does what? Who calls upon the name of the Lord, invoking him as Lord, will be saved. Unfortunately, as Christians, we always used to read that word saved to mean being forgiven and going to heaven. Okay? It includes that. But that's not it. No, that's not all. It also includes, okay, let me ask you this simple one. How many of you, when you were growing up, let's say you are about to fall, Mawe! Huh? You know it, isn't it? Yeah. So you were calling mommy as an instinct. Okay? So now imagine you are about to fall, Jesus! Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Imagine you are driving and then the big truck is coming toward your car and you say, Jesus! Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yes, you've got to start calling on the name of Jesus. May the name of Jesus be forever in your lips. Amen. Because that is what we have. He says, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So if somebody is drowning and you save, I said salvation includes everything. So it means you've got to call out when you need help. Okay? And you've got to also keep on speaking it. Some of you, you wonder why I keep on talking these things that the enemy cannot kill me. That's my confession of my faith. And he can't, because there is a word that God has to fulfill in my life. Amen. And some of you, hey, don't speak loudly. Don't speak loudly. Yeah, if you are held hostage, then don't speak loudly, because your hostage taker will prove you wrong. But if you are rescued, you can be bold and confident, knowing that I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my God in whom I trust. 1,000 may fall on my side, 10,000 on the other side, but it will not come near me. Amen. Amen. Because I'm free. Amen. If I read in the NIV, I'll start it from verse 8, Romans 10, 8 to 13 in NIV. He says, but what does it say? He's talking about the word. He says, the word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. Where is the word? In your mouth and in your heart. So as we keep on giving you the word, go and make sure that that word is soaked in your heart, so that even in times of trouble, that word will come out. You remember the other time I gave this example? I said, if you take a sponge and soak it in water, if you squeeze that sponge, what comes out? Water. If you take a sponge, soak it in red ink, if you squeeze it, what comes out? Red ink. Now, if you take me and put me in the word, soak me in the word, if you put me under pressure, what will come out? The word. I will always say, it is written. That's how Jesus defeated the devil. It is written. The word is coming out. But if you soak me under soapies, when I'm under pressure, what will come out? Yeah. That's what will come out. Isn't it? Because you can't soak a sponge in red ink And when you squeeze it, blue ink comes out. Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It means that which I have put in my heart. That's why even some of us, the way we speak, you can see what we've been loading. It aligns to what we've been loading. So if you are loading the wrong thing, that's why Jesus said in Mark 4:23, he says, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that will be measured back to you and more beside to you who hear. So in other words, if I'm not careful what I hear, those things you are hearing, they are getting in. And Proverbs says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life. So it means I must guard and protect my heart. What comes to my heart should only be that which I want to come out when I'm in trouble. Amen. Amen. So he says, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. Verse 9. If you declare with your mouth, what? Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what will happen to you? You will be saved in all its inclusiveness. For it is written, it is with your heart that you believe and you are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and you are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. Because others will say, Pastor, you must be careful. No, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord over all and richly blesses who? All who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So it means I will keep on calling on the name of the Lord. Do you know that the name of Jesus is the name above every other name? Some of you are calling a lot of names, even nicknames, before you call the name of Jesus. Can we go to the book of Philippians chapter 2? Verse 9 to 16, Mr. MJ. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 9 to 16. I want you to understand this, because if we want to enjoy the benefits of this salvation, such a great salvation, we need to know what salvation means. When we say we are saved, what do we mean? But we also need to know which name is the one that brings salvation. What should we call out when we want deliverance? Mr. MJ, Philippians 2, 9 to 16, New King James Version. If you are not there yet, I'll read it. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him what? The name which is where? Oh. The name of Jesus is where? It's above. Is it above diabetes? Is it above cancer? Is it above death? Is it above poverty? So he has given him a name that is above. In other words, you cannot control something with something that's under. You can only take charge if you are above. That's why under the blessings in Deuteronomy it says, you will be above only and never beneath. You will be the head and not the tail. Because you cannot control, you cannot be in control when you are not above. So he has given him a name that is where? Above every name. Verse 10, Mr. MJ.
That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow.
That's not the New King James Version.
It is.
Or the NIV. If the New King James, my New King James Version says, every knee should bow. Even the Amplified Classic says should, which means must. The problem is that song that we sing, every knee shall bow. That's other versions. But I want this one. Because I want knees to bow now. Yeah. I've got things that I need to use the name of Jesus for now. Amen. In this life. So every knee So you say your New King James doesn't say should?
No, I'm at NIV now. It says should.
Okay.
That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow.
Yeah.
In heaven and on earth and under the earth.
You know why it should be should and not shall? It clearly says there. It says for those in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. So if it's for future, so it means it will be one place. So, but now we are talking about when there is in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, every knee should bow. We want to take dominion now. Where we started reading in the book of Hebrews, it says, God did not give authority of this current world to the angels. He gave it to us. He wants us to rule now. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of things in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth. And you've got to make them bow. Continue.
And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling.
You see that we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. You work your own salvation with fear and trembling. Some of you, you see somebody quitting church and you want to copy them. You need to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You see somebody not praying much, somebody not studying the word, and you want to copy them. You need to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Because when you face the enemy comes to you as an individual. The enemy doesn't care who influenced you to be lazy. Who influenced you not to pray? Who influenced you not to study the word? Who influenced you to miss church? The enemy doesn't mind. He comes out to kill, to steal, and to destroy. I will work out my salvation with fear and trembling. That's why when he started in Hebrews chapter 2, he says, make sure that you don't drift away. Some of the people, they get used to being in the Lord for years. Yeah, I've been in the Lord. Hey, I've been in the Lord for years, man. Even before you were born, young man. But your faith was supposed to be showing us that. Your faith was supposed to be showing us that. Because then it means you're just speaking, and the devil doesn't mind if you just speak. Without power. Okay. So you will read it at your own time. To complete to verse 16. I want to go to... Okay, let's read verse 16. Read verse 16. And then I will go to Romans again.
As you hold firmly to the word of life, and then I'll be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain.
You hold firmly to the word of life. And then I would be able to, when the Christ comes, it's like that's why you would find in this church, we keep on teaching you the word. We keep on telling you, hold on to that word. Because we know when you are holding on the word, you will not be defeated. And when the Lord comes back, he will crown us because of the word that you are holding on to. He says, hold fast to the word of life, so that we will rejoice in the day of Christ. We will know that we did not labor in vain. Because if we are teaching you these things, we are telling you these things, the way you behave out there, the way you speak, has to start showing that you are hearing the word and you are living the word. Amen? You can't keep on coming and you are hearing the word and you always go out the same person. Even your situation, your circumstances, they have to change because of the word that you keep on hearing. So go to Romans chapter 3. Verse 22 to 26, NIV. Romans chapter 3, 22 to 26. Because now I want to take another word Yeah, we'll take more time with this word, and we'll link it to what we'll also talk about even next week. By the way, next week is baptism service. But then all these things will flow with each other. So Romans chapter 3, 22 to 26, NIV, Mr. MJ.
This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe.
So everyone who believes can have this righteousness. Okay. Mm-hmm.
There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
So all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, then how do we get? Because if you have sinned, you are still captured. You need to be redeemed. But read, going further.
And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus.
I want to look at two words in verse 24. There is a word justified. And there is a word redemption. Okay? Can I explain those two words? So justified, it's easy. It's as just as if you have never sinned. When you are justified, it's just as if you have never sinned. That's justified. I will put it in simple court language in the days that we are living in. You know, if somebody kills somebody and they go to court and the court says not guilty, they are justified. It's declared as if they didn't kill. Whether they have killed or not is immaterial. It's just as if they did not kill. This court finds you not guilty. Imagine the Lord Jesus says to me, not guilty. How do I feel? I feel good. So I like that word justified. Because when I get justified, it's not because of what I try to do or what I don't do. It's because of the blood. In the blood of Jesus, when I accept Jesus, I am justified. I am declared not guilty. And the devil will say, no. You remember, about 6 months ago, she committed abortion. You remember, about 5 months ago, he stole. He robbed somebody at gunpoint. And the judge says, not guilty. Justified. That word justified is a bit unfair to the devil. Because it means it doesn't matter what you've done. If you are now justified, you are cleared. That's why anyone who comes to the Lord, when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't have to start by cleaning yourself to be accepted. You come as you are, and then you are declared not guilty. And from there you start walking in the ways of the Lord. You get that? So that's justified. Now, the other word there, it says, through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to take a bit of time with this one. Redemption. To be redeemed. Okay? Also, this one, I checked it in the Greek. The word used there, redeemed, is the word litrosis or litrosis, which means ransom, deliverance, rescue. So when you are redeemed, you are delivered. You are rescued. That's why you start now, when I will show you some verses when we start going down. Now you start saying, oh, now it makes sense. Now it makes sense. Now it makes sense. Now you start seeing the verses that are confirming what I'm telling you now. We're going to read them. So it says, so that word means to be delivered. It means deliverance. It means rescue. It means ransom. So when somebody is held captive or hostage, you can either get that person free by paying a ransom. Isn't it? They will take somebody and say, we demand 2 million for us to release this person. So if 2 million is paid, you can be freed. Okay? But the other way is to come and forcefully rescue you. So in redemption, whichever method, I'm rescued. I'm freed. And I think, but we'll read it with some scriptures. I think when the enemy was holding as hostage. Jesus went and said, take me hostage, leave this one. So he swapped. Because he knew he would handle the enemy. And the enemy thought that because, you see, he said, oh, it's a good exchange. We capture this one. Not knowing that actually he can't handle Jesus. Amen. Well, you will see with the scriptures as we go down. The good thing is that the Bible makes, when you meditate on the word day and night, some things start being more clear. And you read certain verses, now they start making sense. Can I give you just one few examples? Yeah, let's give few examples. We have a little bit of time. Mark 10:45, NIV. Mr. MJ, Mark 10:45. I want you to look now, because I told you the words ransom, told you the word rescue, told you the word redeem, it's deliverance. So every time now when we read the Bible and you hear the word ransom, you hear the word rescue, you hear the word rescue, you've got to think of redemption. Okay? So read for us Mark 10:45 NIV.
For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to save, and to give his life as a ransom for many.
Mm. Is it in your Bible?
Yeah.
Because when I saw this one, I looked at this one, I was meditating. It's exactly what I just told you a few minutes ago. Okay. We were held hostage by the devil, and he could do with us whatever he wanted to do. You remember the verse we read earlier? It says, the devil who had the power over death. Yes. Jesus came and destroyed him. So the way he destroyed him is he gave his life as a ransom. And then I was rescued. But then Jesus himself, the enemy, could not hold Jesus hostage. That's why the Bible says, you remember after he died, the enemy was very anxious because he was told that Jesus would rise after 3 days. And you remember even the soldiers saying, make sure that you safeguard the tomb. Make sure he doesn't come out. But death could not contain Jesus. So though he gave his life as a ransom for many, it was so that I must be free. But when I'm free, he could not be held hostage. Because he is Lord. Can we say he is Lord? He is master. That's why when he rose from the dead, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. I have the victory. I have overcome the enemy. And in Colossians, he says, he made a show, an open show of their weapons, disarming the enemy. Yes, Jesus disarmed your enemy. For your sake, so that you can be redeemed, so that you can be safe. Can we go to Ephesians 4:8? We'll do it in two verses, in two translations, because I'm just putting this point so that you can understand it. Then you will start seeing, for many things where you are held hostage, you are held hostage unnecessarily. You know, sometimes you are even held hostage by fear. Huh? You're always scared. You're always afraid. Last week, we were being told, don't be afraid. Fear not. So sometimes you are held hostage by that fear. But if you look at Ephesians 4:8, let's do it in God's Word translation, and I will read it in the New Life Version. So read GW, Mr. MJ, Ephesians 4:8.
That's why the scriptures say, when he went to the highest place, he took captive those who had captured us and gave gifts to people.
Is that in the Bible? So when Jesus went to the highest place, what did he do? He took captive who?
Those
who did what?
Had captured us.
It means, tell your neighbor, we were once captured. But now we are redeemed. It's only if you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior that you are still captured. You're still under the control of the enemy. That's why he can do with you whatever he wants at any time. Because you are captured. So in the New Life Version, it says, the holy writings say, when Christ went up to the heaven, he took those who were held with him. He gave gifts to men. Okay. So when he sets me free, I am free indeed. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3, 18 to 22. Let's begin our descent. We're not landing yet, we're just beginning our descent. Now when we were cruising at 33 feet above sea level, now we're beginning our descent. We're not landing yet, we're just beginning our descent. 1 Peter 3, 18 to 22, TLB, the Living Bible, Mr. MJ. TLB, 1 Peter 3, 18 to 22. If you don't have it, I'll start. Christ also suffered. He died once for sins of all of us guilty sinners, although he himself was innocent of any sin at any time, that he might bring us safely home to God. You see what he was doing? He rescued us that he might bring us what? Safely home to God. We were unsafe. We were captured. And he came and brought and set us free that he might bring us safely home to God. Continue, Mr. MJ.
I don't have it.
Okay. But though his body died, his spirit lived on. And it was in the spirit that he visited the spirits in prison and preached to them. So the Bible says when Jesus died, when he went down, that period when he died, it says he visited the spirits in prison and he started preaching to them. They were in prison, they were held hostage. They were captured. The spirits of those who long before in the days of Noah had refused to listen to God. So you remember during the time of Noah, a lot of people died without any salvation. Only 8 people, the family of Noah, were saved. So it says Jesus, when he went down, he preached to all those who were held in prison, those who were held hostage. And he gives example by the people who died during the time of Noah. It says, yet only 8 persons were saved from drowning. Again, the word saved. 8 persons were saved from drowning in that terrible flood. That, by the way, is what baptism pictures for us. We said that next week is baptism service. Now, this is landing well with this. So, others were drowning, but the 8 were saved. Saved. And says, this is symbolizing even when there is baptism. Okay? I'll pick more on this verse next week, but I'll take a few now just to conclude the other part. It says, in baptism, we show that we have been saved from death and doom by the resurrection of Christ, not because our bodies are washed clean by the water, but because in being baptized, we are turning to God and asking him to cleanse our hearts from sin. And now, in Christ, in heaven, sitting in the presence of honor next to God the Father, with all the angels and the power of heaven, bowing before him and obeying him. I will pick more this verse next time, but let's do this. Let's finish these other ones. Psalms 107, verse 2, New King James Version. I will do it in the Amplified Classic. Mr. MJ, you will be getting to Psalms 107, verse 2. I'll do it for now in the New King James Version, in the Amplified Classic. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. He is good. His mercy and loving kindness endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord, now you know what is to be redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whom he has done what? Oh, yeah, let's do it in the Amplified Classic. Because I want you to see the word redeemed and the word deliverance put together. Beside my Greek that I told you earlier, I want you to look at it in the Amplified Classic. Read verse 2, Amplified Classic, Mr. MJ.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has delivered from the hand of the adversary.
Okay. When I started here, I said the thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, to kill, and to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, if I am redeemed, what must I say? It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has delivered. You see that word delivered now? From what? From the hand of the adversary. It means there was a time when I was in his hands. He could do with me whatever he wanted. That's why even wizards could bewitch me. But now no more. Yeah, because some of you are very much afraid of witches and wizards. You know that one? You know my auntie? And this and this and this and this. Being a Christian and you are being bewitched? Yeah, the problem is not with the captain, neither with the ship. The problem is lack of knowledge. Because if he has redeemed me from the hands of the adversary, how does the adversary touch me? Because I'm redeemed. I just need to know who I am. But I must do what? I must say so. Some of you don't say so. So let the redeemed of the Lord do what? Say so. Now you hear the redeemed saying, you never know. I might just be killed. I might just be bewitched. That's not what the redeemed of the Lord should say. Because it's not aligning to your redemption. It's not in alignment with your deliverance. You must speak in line with your deliverance. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Who has delivered us from the hand of the adversary. Colossians 1:13, Mr. MJ. I will do it in the Amplified Classic. And I think we need to land. Yeah, I'll take two verses and we land. Colossians 1:13. I'll do the Passion. And you can do it in the Amplified Classic, Mr. MJ. Colossians 1:13. Now, I'm taking this just so that everything I was teaching you, you don't say the pastor said. I want it to be revealed to you the way that it was revealed to me. That when I started seeing this, I actually realized I'm no longer a slave of sin. I'm a child of God. I'm no longer a slave of the enemy. I am rescued. I am delivered. It's only those who are still held captive that will always be living in fear. So read Mr. MJ in the Amplified Classic. I'll read in the Passion. Colossians 1:13.
The Father has delivered and drawn us to himself.
So that word delivered, it means we were held captive somewhere. Mm. So now when you start reading the Bible and you see delivered, you see rescue. Now you start enjoying the benefits of your redemption, the benefits of your salvation. Mm. The Father has
delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control.
Oh, we were delivered out of
the control.
The control. Mm-hmm.
And the dominion of darkness.
Oh. Mm.
And has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love.
Oh, I have been rescued. I have been delivered. In the Passion it says, he has rescued us completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. That's your salvation. You have been rescued. Can we all confess, I've been rescued. I've been delivered. I've been delivered from the power of the enemy. I've been delivered from sin. I've been delivered from the dominion of darkness. I'm delivered from fear. I am delivered from death. I am delivered from sickness. I'm delivered from poverty. Yeah, I'm no longer a slave. I'm free. Amen. And if the Son sets you free,
you are free
You are free indeed. So let's land with that one. And then I'm going to make an altar call for those of you who, those that want to pray for. So it's John 8, 31 to 36 NIV. So we're landing with this one. I'll read in the NIV. John 8, 31 to 36 NIV. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you remember the word of truth that you must also hold on? If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. So if you don't know the truth, you will be eating crumbs. If you don't know the truth, you will be living in bondage. You will be living in fear. You will be living in destruction and sufferings of the enemy. But if you know the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say we shall be set free? So it's good they asked that question, isn't it? So that you can see what he meant. Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is what? Everyone who sins is what? You need to be rescued. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. Verse 36. So, if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. That's your salvation. Amen. Can we stand up and thank God for the word that we've heard? After that, I'm going to make an altar call. Any of you who say, Pastor, I heard the thing that you were talking about salvation. I heard about this deliverance. I heard about this forgiveness of sin. But I want you to pray with me so that I can also accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I can also be sure that I am saved. I can also be sure that I am set free. I can also be sure that I am delivered. Let's thank God for the word we've heard. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you, Father, for setting us free. Thank you, Father, for deliverance.